God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Everybody excited to be in church tonight?
Yes.
I believe it. I'm excited to be here. You know, we're in part three of the series that we started, well, 4 weeks ago, I guess. I guess we took 1 week off, but the series that we started four weeks ago, and I'm excited to continue in it, to continue to get the things out of it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Of course, the series is called Being Spirit-Led, and tonight's part three, which is Know Before You Go. Amen. Glory to God. I'm so excited. I'm so excited for the Word of God. I'm excited that we have the Word. I'm so thankful that we have the Word, amen, is what I really, really should say. You know, if it weren't for being Spirit-Led, I wouldn't know, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Amen. Being Spirit-led is a real interesting thing. It seems to be something that a lot of people can miss, but it's not something that's supposed to be all that difficult. Being Spirit-led is, of course, based first and foremost in the Word of God. But, everything kind of branches out from there. And as we learn to do it, you know, my wife was doing announcements again, I was sitting there thinking about how, you know, you can come to a church, you can come to a place to receive, but unless you start drinking, you're not going to receive. Amen. And so just being in a place doesn't make you one who is going to receive. And the question sometimes comes up, well, how do we start drinking? How do we start eating? The Bible says that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that they shall be filled. But how do we start doing that? Then the way that we start doing that, and this is the basis for all that we're going to do, this is the basis for being Spirit-led, is to have a relationship with God. You know, as we look through the body of Christ, as we see different things, and of course as pastors, we will deal with different things and people, you know, kinds of issues. But really the issues aren't all that different. One of the things I've learned since I've started pastoring is that anything that can come against people typically will, and it typically does over and over and over again. So at any given point, if you're going through something, the Bible does tell us that we can rest knowing that there's other brothers and sisters that are dealing with the same things. Amen. Praise the Lord. But in that, since there's not a whole lot of different things, there really isn't a whole lot of different answers, is there? But the biggest answer that I can help you with is building a relationship with God. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, one of his primary functions, one of his primary desires is to do that, is to help us do that. God wants to lead us to that place of being able to the Holy Spirit wants to lead us to that place of being able to receive all that God has for us. Amen. And so as we come to, you know, these services, you know, I know I've kind of started off, I've had two other parts to this. Tonight's the third part. But we have to understand that really it just comes from basic knowledge. I preached whole sermons on it, but it's just basic knowledge. Of course, we're going to touch on that again here tonight. You know, the first week I talked about what being led is not, just to clear it up for us. And I want to remind you of that. I said basically four types of things or four categories. One was God said. Being led is not God said. So, and when I say what it is not, means it, this is not what it is specifically. That being led isn't just these things. It can things, but it's not these things. Amen. You know, I think that who we are as individuals is much more than just what people see on the surface.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And shouldn't it be so?
Yeah.
Well, the same thing is with God, with the leading of God. It's not just surface things, sometimes the way things manifest. And so I'm not saying that God can't say, because God certainly does say. We see that through Scripture. If I go this direction next week of what I think I'm going, I'm kind of excited for it, because it's about the practical application of these things, amen? And seeing it, we see through Scripture, especially as you look in the book of Acts, you'll see 1 minute that they're being Spirit-led, and then you'll be another minute where there's a vision. You'll see another minute where there's a dream. And of course, all these things work together, and so we don't negate these. When I said being Spirit-led is not, what I'm saying is there, it's not specifically that. And so we don't have to look for that, because when we're looking to be Spirit-led, we want to look for what it is and not what it isn't. Amen? Praise the Lord. When you want to get to know somebody, you don't want to just get to know who you see. You want to get to know what's inside of them. Amen. One of the things when I sit with a new person or I start talking with a new person, I start asking questions. And those questions always have to do with who that person is. You know, where did they come from? I want to know a little bit about your background and stuff like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so there's a deeper level. And so we have to understand that. So being led is not specifically God said. Amen. Being led is not your feelings. And although you can have feelings from being led is not that. Amen. Being led is not signs. Certainly God can do signs and wonders. We know that the prayed for that there would be signs and wonders to confirm the word. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But we don't seek after the signs. We're not waiting for a sign. Amen. Visions, dreams, and prophets. I use these together because sometimes people who are having visions and dreams think they're prophets, and that's just not the case. Amen. But we're not meant to be led by prophets. In the Old Testament, they were led by prophets. New Testament, we are not by prophets. We are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And so we touched on those things, what being led is not. Excuse me. It's not that God never uses these things, but they are kind of the exception, not the rule. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then last week we got into learning that the Spirit leads through and with purpose. This is a very, very important thing. You know, the Spirit of God has purpose in what He's doing. He's not just trying to entertain us. He's not trying to take us in any specific or any random direction, but a specific direction. This is very important for us to understand, because as we understand that, then we can look for God's purpose in things. Amen. When we're looking for God's purpose, it means that we lay aside our purpose. Amen. And seek His purpose. Amen. And as God can open up to us and speak to us about what He wants from us, what He wants for us, what He wants us to do. And we're going to get into some of that tonight. Amen. Glory to God. So we started with these few things, and they help us see some things. But tonight, of course, as I said, we're calling the message "Know Before You Go." Before you go, know before you go, and we're going to be talking about the part of being Spirit led that is knowing. Amen. Knowing is a very important part. You know, one of the things so many times that when people question along these lines, they're like, "How do I know?" And so we have to understand how to know. And knowing is an important thing. Now, knowing, I'm going to surprise you with this, but knowing isn't a difficult thing. In fact, a lot of the scriptures we're going to go to, you're going to be quite familiar with. But we're going to them for the purpose of teaching this, because it helps us get to where we need to go. Amen? Praise the Lord. So go ahead and turn with me to James 4:17. Amen. James 4:17. I love this scripture. The scripture is so, so good. This scripture, if we really dig into it and understand it, would explain and help us with so much in life you can't even imagine. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Amen. To the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. There's a part of being Spirit-led that is knowing. And part of that is what we naturally know. The Spirit is going to lead us in accordance and sometimes with the things we know. Now, not always just that. Sometimes He'll lead us into the realm of the things that we don't know. But it is very important to God. It's written in a scripture that believers know something. You know, it's not just enough to, and of course we know that just knowing something because it goes on to say here, knows the right thing to do and does not do it. Right. Or you can also say the one who knows what to do and does it or does not do it. Right. You know, when you know the thing to do, when you know what's right, you know, we've talked about this with sicknesses. Amen. Yeah. Though we believe, I believe wholeheartedly that God is healer. I believe all through Scripture that God is healer. It shows us this left and right, back and forth, up and down, and just all over and over and over. We see God is our healer. But we also know that God gave practical wisdom. He taught his people something, right? He told them with certain diseases that you must quarantine, that you must stay away. And I'm not using quarantine because we hear of it so much now, but I'm just talking about the idea that you know, when you're sick or you know people are sick, then you don't purpose to be around that. Amen. That's a very natural thing, or some very basic knowledge. What a lot of people try to do is they try to use spiritual reasoning above natural knowledge, and unless God specifically tells you. Amen. Unless he specifically tells you to go against natural knowledge, you go against natural knowledge. So it is good to know something. Amen. It's not good to be a dummy. We want to know what God has, or the way that things work. It's good to understand that, you know, when you're driving down the street, you don't just drive by the Spirit. You pay attention to street signs. You pay attention to the lights. Amen. You can't. It would be a very, very, very rare case where God would say, now run that red light. And I would suspect if he did, you would probably hear it. It would do so, you know, when God speaks in a miraculous way, typically it means that things have to move quickly.
Right.
Yeah. And that's something we can understand and know about the leading, is that usually with the leading, we don't have to move necessarily quickly. If God needs us to move quickly, he will make sure that we know. Amen. And this is where a lot of people can fail too, because maybe they're trying to step out in something in life. Take something like buying a car. Can you be led on buying a car? Absolutely. I've been led on every vehicle that I've bought in the last probably 10 years. At least I've been trying to be. Amen. I'm not saying I've never missed it, but for the most part, we're blessed when we do it, and that's because we're led. Amen. When you know, you could be led on buying a car, but if you move, you know, what do salesmen always want you to do? You got to buy it today. You got to do it right now. Well, see, the leading tells us that we don't have to unless he specifically tells us. But when God tells you specifically to move on something, that's something different. And when you move on, it'll work out. But yeah, any good thing, I've found this, any good thing can come just by taking a little bit of time.
Yeah.
The things that I've loved about getting a little bit older is that as I get older, I slow down a little bit.
Yeah.
Purposely, I slow down. I just don't need to jump on things. I need the things I want right now. When I was 20 years old, I thought I needed everything I wanted then. Amen. What I've learned since then is that that's not the case. You know why my life is more blessed now than I was when I was 20? Because I've slowed down.
Yeah.
Because God will bring things to me, but he brings them to me in the right timing.
Yeah.
Timing is never my timing. I said the right timing is never my timing, just so you know that. So the right timing is never your timing either. The right timing is God's timing, when he determines. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've found that when you get to a place where you think you've backed off, you can back off even more and still you'll be okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. God will not punish you for taking things slow. And so if God is leading you into something, he is not going to punish you by, and these are just some things to know, right? We're talking about who knows to do right. You know, you know that any, we can pretty much know that any quick or any decision that has to be made quickly in life, generally speaking, is never, never perfect decision. Now, sometimes you have to make them on the fly, you know. You know, if you're driving down the road and all of a sudden a deer is in front of your car, you may make a quick decision, and that quick decision may or may not be the best decision. We know if you had time to think it out. You know, have you ever had that happen where you've had a situation happen in life and you moved on it or you jumped on it, you pounced on it, and then afterwards when you think about it, you think, man, I probably could have done that just a little bit better. God knows that. He's put that in us to know that. And so that's something that we have to understand about the leading. When there's unction or a leading to go in a certain direction, we can do so fairly slowly. We don't have to jump right on it. Anything that's anything that God is going to lead us to that way. And I'll tell you this, it's important to learn these methods, because as you learn them, as you learn to go slow and listen and hear the Spirit and sort things out, as you learn to do that, you get more accurate with the Spirit. See, now the Spirit doesn't need any more accuracy, but we need accuracy in hearing Him. And man, I hope we can get into this. I think we're getting into it more, but it matters what we're full of in being led to. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just in thinking about that, you know, I think about recently I went to my mom's house for a picnic. And as we were going for the picnic, you know, I ate a late lunch. I ate later in the afternoon, much later in the afternoon, actually probably just an hour or so, hour and a half before I had to be there. Not really thinking about it. I was just hungry, so that's when I was eating, and I had put it off. And then when I got to my mom's picnic, I was already full. I didn't have any room to eat. And so it's the same thing. If we're too full of something, when we go to eat or we go to drink from it, we're not going to be able to receive that. Amen. And so if your brain is full of things, and this is another reason for acting slow, if your brain is full of things, full of worry, full of strife, full of all kinds of things, this is another reason why husbands and wives, you keep a peaceful home. Why do we keep a peaceful home at all costs? Why do we always strive to go back to that place? Because if we're full of strife, we can't be full of the Spirit. And so we understand that we have to eliminate those things. See, my wife and I were talking about our marriage, or maybe it was, yeah, it was us. We were talking about our marriage and why our marriage is heaven on earth. And literally the only reason it is because we both have decided separately that we are going to eliminate certain strife in certain areas or certain things. There's certain things we're just not going to allow to go. And when we see and we recognize the error, we do our best to immediately turn it. Now, we do as much for ourselves as we do each other, because we know that we're not going anywhere that way. That's the only reason our relationship works. I know Christians whose relationships aren't working, and people who are serving in the church and everything, and the reason it's not working is because they don't do those simple things. You have to be willing to put down you for a minute and just get beyond it. Amen. But that's the same thing with going forward with God. If we're Christians that are harboring strife against another, if we're holding on to strife of any kind, you know, unforgiveness, things like that. If we're holding on to those things, it will keep us from being able to be Spirit led. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not sure if this is exactly the direction I thought I was going, but we're going this way. Amen. And I believe it'll help us. Turn with me to John 8. We're going to go to John 8:31. Now, you think you know this, and you probably have heard it once or twice here before. But we're not just going to stay there in 31. We're going to read on. Amen. John 8:31, and we're going to read all the way down through verse 37. We're not even going to stop at 32. Amen. So it says here, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples of mine. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, see, I was trying to read it in the New King James Version. If you continue in my word, you are truly disciples of mine. In other words, to say you're a disciple means you are truly one who learns from Christ. Every Christian, the goal of every Christian should be a disciple of Christ. First and foremost of everything. If you are a disciple of Christ, number one, as your priority, everything else in life will fall into place as you follow him. Everything. If you have a bad marriage, glory to God. Become a disciple of Christ. Yeah. Not a disciple of your thoughts, not a disciple of your emotions, not a disciple of your spouse who's unbelieving, or if you're in a work situation where your boss is unbelieving and they're a pain in your rear. Amen. If that's the case, become a disciple of Christ. Like, this is something that we should be and continue to be. Yeah. Being a disciple of Christ is one who's continually learning from Christ. Notice what he said before that. He said, if you continue in my word. In other words, if you continue in the knowledge that I've given you, if you continue in this direction, if you do, then you are truly the ones who learn from me. Yeah. Folks, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to be real honest with you, there are a lot of Christians who aren't disciples of Christ. Right. Because they will sit in churches. Some of them sit in churches faithfully. Some of them sit in churches faithfully and faithfully serve, carrying out the plan of God or thinking the work of God. Amen. But they don't actually ever learn from Him. How can this be? Because they don't continue in the Word. See, the Word should always be able to change us. The Word should always be able to direct us. Our knowledge of the Word is going to be something that is very important for us in being led. Because as we're led by His Spirit, God's Spirit will always lead us in line with His Word. Amen. I'm going to use husbands and wives because this is the easiest thing to use in the world. But take a husband and wife who are in strife. Right? Now, a husband and wife, they've been having an argument or whatever. Now, one of them, either one of them, it doesn't matter, but they both think that they're justified. And so they speak out accordingly because they're justified. Sure. Is that being a disciple of Christ? No, because the Bible doesn't teach us to act according to how we think or feel. It tells us to act according to how He thinks and feels, how He says. When the Bible says to submit yourselves one to another, it doesn't put any ceiling on that. Right. It doesn't put any limitation on that. Now, obviously, I'm not talking. It was never referring to being abused or something like that. You know, we should never accept abuse or something like that. You know, and obviously, if somebody is in the situation, then they have to make decisions according to that. But I'm talking about typical things that we may not agree on. You know, there's things that my wife and I have disagreed on that we had never, ever came to a settling on. And what I mean a settling on is we never came to agreement on it. We think differently. And guess what? The truth of the matter is she may not be wrong and I may not be wrong on the very same thing that we disagree on. See, now, that's an interesting thought, isn't it? Brothers and sisters, you can be... Pastor Tim and I were together today, and him and I were talking about a kind of a hot-button issue, not between us, but just in the body of Christ. And so we were talking about this, and you want to know something that was really interesting? We had completely different viewpoint on it. And we discussed it back and forth. We had a good discussion. Not a debate so much as we just had a discussion about it. But you know what's interesting is when the conversation ended... It ended. We still didn't agree on that thing. But you know what's awesome is that we went to lunch afterwards and we sat there and enjoyed lunch together too. See, these things would teach us a whole lot about being disciples of Christ and doing what He has asked us to do. Amen? Going on, praise the Lord, says, and you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. The truth will make you free in your decisions because you can make decisions based on the knowledge of God. But if you're so wrapped up in your opinion, and really what these things are, even if you're sure you're right, it's still your opinion. Right. Amen. Yeah. Glory to God. So it's the truth that we need to be after. It's the knowledge of the truth. Amen. And of course, we read these every week. But here they are again. Verse 33, they answered him. And look how I want you to see how the Jews answered him. We are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And then Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants. You seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. Their actions were controlled by their predispositions. The things that they thought, the things that they, the way that they looked at the world, the way they viewed the world, all of their actions were controlled and manipulated by that, even though they were supposed to be the people of God. Amen? Amen. Now, these are people that could not be led by the Spirit. But what's the difference between a Christian who is going to hold on to their preconceived ideas or the things that they came in with, their ways of being, their ways of doing. You see, it's the knowledge of God that sets us free. Because it puts us in a place where we can freely receive from God. And so if we're not going to be people that will be set free, we're not going to be people that can hear his direction or get his direction. Because we're always going to be making, and see, I see this so often. I see people, I see people that are attempting to be spirit-led, and they're going all over the place, and none of it ever makes any sense. The question is, it's because they're never truly submitted to the direction that God has given. They're never truly submitted to the Word. If you are waiting for some great manifestation, you may wait for a long time. I've heard a lot of Christians and a lot of different things say, make statements like this. Well, I just haven't been led on that yet. I just haven't been led on that yet. Well, saying I just haven't been led on that, you might be waiting forever to be led, because God isn't, when you have natural knowledge of things, you haven't even sought it out. People are saying, I haven't been led, but they haven't sought it out. How do you know until you seek it out? Praise the Lord. You're assuming that you know, and that if God wanted you to be led differently, he just would. But that is not submitting yourself. That's holding on to your own ideas. Praise the Lord. If you're full of your own opinion, you're going to have a hard time being led. Because if you have your opinion on something, I have learned this as a pastor. I keep learning this over and over and over again. Just when I think something is one way, do you know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about the Word of God. I'm talking about as the Word applies in our lives. How do we act a certain way? How do we act towards this? How do we look at these things? You see, just if I've not been in a situation, I might have formed an opinion on it. Haven't we all? I've formed an opinion on it that sounds like it's grounded in Scripture. But not being in the situation, I can't look at it clearly. I can't understand what it is from that point of view. Some people look at the way someone else is tempted and says, you know what? I've never been tempted that way. You shouldn't be either. That's more or less what they say. You know what I mean? The Bible tells us to have mercy, to have compassion. When we see somebody suffering, we should have compassion on that. We should have compassion on their suffering. Now, there's a difference between somebody, you know, and also refusing the truth. If you're suffering and you're refusing the truth, there isn't much that can be done. In fact, I was telling you, I was with my pastor for a little while today, and as I was talking to him, you know, that was one of the questions I was asking. I was like, as a pastor, when you see people suffering, when you see people going through things, but you know what the answer is, but they're just not hearing it, they're not listening to you, what do you do? And he's like, it just comes down to the four kinds of ground. There's literally, there'll be people that will suffer in your midst. You'll know what the answer is, and you can't get it to them because they won't listen. Yeah. That's a dangerous place to be. Yeah. But Christians' lives, I have seen Christians' lives ruined because they simply will not do what they were told to do. Yeah. And, you know, this isn't a matter of trying to come down on people, but again, and looking at everybody and saying, well, your situation, fault. But there is, you know, there is a play. It's not that our situations are always our fault, but how we react to the situation always is our fault. That's always up to us how we react to it. When something is presented before you, and I don't always act right either, but you know, the level of acting wrong and the situation you're acting wrong to will determine an outcome. If I responded to everybody wrong continually in church, then I'm going to probably not have a very big church, right? If you respond to everybody, and sometimes you can respond in such a way that you kind of create an environment, let's say, amen? If you're at home, if you were an abusive father, say, at home, and you abused your family over and over and over again, and then say you got right, there's still going to be a hesitancy and probably will never be a line that they'll be able to cross to get into that closeness with you. And so there's certain things that you won't be able to walk out. But see, these are natural knowledge things. Amen. But being full of our own opinion, saying things like, I haven't been led on this without even seeking it out. You know, so often in Scripture, the way that being led wasn't as much somebody hearing the voice of God and then moving, but it was as they stepped out. You know, I've been saying this for quite some time. The Lord gave me this revelation, I think it was probably about a year ago, but I've been saying this for quite some time. You know, we talk about the plan of God. The plan of God only unfolds as you walk it out. It doesn't. It doesn't unfold as you just sit there and wait for it. And so you say, how do I do it? I just start moving in a direction. And when that direction, if I get, but I move in a direction. Say I don't know which direction I need to go, but I know that I need to go in some direction. I start going in a direction. There's four basic directions you can go, north, south, east, or west, right? I mean, you're going to go one way or the other. Praise the Lord. We haven't learned to fly yet, so we're not doing up and down yet. you know, we're going to go in one of these directions. So as we step out into that direction, but we step out with the understanding. I always do it this way. I step out with the understanding of Lord. I'm going what I know best. I'm going to be open what you have for me, and I will change course as you direct me to do so. And when you do that that way, God will see that pleases God, because that's an act of faith. That's stepping out. What's doing good is stepping out. To him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it's a sin. It's a sin to sit around being lethargic all the time, never going anywhere. You know, it's the same thing when we can apply this to every area. We can apply this to our giving. You know, I want to be a person that gives more. How do I do that? I start giving. I start stepping out. Maybe you want to be a person who serves more. How do I do that? I start stepping out. Yeah. I start. Right. I'll never forget the one day, praise the Lord. It was when I was being, just before I was going into being my pastor's usher, where I served him specifically, just him. And, you know, and traveled with him. It led into all of that. Never forget the day that it happened. I was in the back position of the church, which was at the door. It was in the center of the Jamestown church. We called it position 3 back then. Or actually, I was the one that called it position 3 because I set up all the positions, because that was my job then. I ordered all the ushers to be where they were. I had kind of gotten into that place. And so I was sitting in position 3. And Pastor, in the weeks before that, had started talking at an usher meeting. He had started talking about that he was going to start utilizing an usher for himself to help him and assist him in certain things, which is right and good. Actually, we understand that as a role of kind of like an armor bearer. It's somebody who is, you know, who assists in that way. It's like an assistant, really, is all it is. At the time, all he knew he was getting the direction to do that, but he didn't know fully what that entailed. And so he even said to us, it might be one of you this week and another one of you next week. I don't know how it's going to look, but he just said it. But I knew this, that when he said that, something burned in my heart that said that was my position. Now, I couldn't force that. I didn't jump up and say, Pastor, that's me. You need to pick me. Amen. Because that's not stepping out. That's just being loud. Amen. And so what I did was what I knew. I sought the Lord. I went to the Lord, and I thought that that desire was just my desire. Of course, now that I know, looking back, that it was God's desire burning in me. And so I was in that position, and I never left that position. I was always there. I had a microphone and everything. I was the one who would go get the kids, in the nursery or the little pictures or whatever, when they had, messed themselves or whatever. I didn't get the kids, I got the parents or whatever. Or if something needed to be whatever taken care of, I did that. But at any rate, it was that Sunday, and I'll never forget that Sunday. I had it in me. It was burning on the inside of me to go up to immediately when service ended to go up and grab his Bible. And, to carry his Bible. And so now this does, I don't want people rushing up here to try to carry my Bible that was on my heart. Amen. But I didn't hear any big voice or anything like that. I just knew to do it. It was burning in me. And I knew to do that. And I knew it was good. And so I did what I knew was good. Amen.
Yeah.
And so when the service ended, the first thing that I did, I didn't look at anybody. I didn't talk to anybody. I was up to, I mean, before his prayer, before he even said amen, I think I was at the front of the, I was up there, you know, not when it was weird, but it was definitely over, but I got up there. You know, I wasn't just standing there like, hey, surprise. And I didn't even ask him. I just took the Bible. And he didn't even think about it. He just didn't. I don't even know if he looked at me. But I remember Pastor Brad looked at me at that time, because Pastor Brad was always up towards the front with him. And he looked over at me and he just kind of winked and nodded at me, saying that was a good, you know, you did right by doing that. And so I, so it was, you know, I got that confirmation there. But see, I didn't have any voice telling me to do so. I just knew to do good. It seemed right in my heart, and so I acted upon that. And of course, that opened up. Nobody else ever took that job from me until I handed it off to the next person, which is Justin, and he's ministered, Justin Thorpe, and he's ministered in this church, of course, and you know, of course, and helped us with the building. But you know, that was the direction that God gave me. But also, I was stepping out in what I knew to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. It takes a level of faith to step out. But knowing when there's a knowing to do good and you do it, you'll be blessed.
Yeah.
And if you miss it, you'll be corrected.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly the way I looked at it. I'm like, the correction to me or the chance at being wrong wasn't as big as getting to do that job. If I had not done that, I still believe to this day I would have never stepped into that role. That role of being his usher. But that role of being his usher worked into so much more in my life, because it got me to travel with him. And so I got to start doing that. And I got blessed through that. And what I mean by getting blessed through that, of course, I got to see places, which is always something I love to do anyways. But as I went, I also got to learn a lot. I got to talk with him. I had his ear more than average people had his ear. And now today, it's worked into a thing that to, like, to this day, you know, if he wants to go do something, he calls on me to go with him. And I always almost go. I think it's very, very rare that I ever don't go, because there's always something I receive from him. And I receive things today. Man, I could preach sermons from the things that I receive today. And some of it was revelation as I'm talking. And some of my heart is open to those things. And really, it was in that place that I learned to be able to be a good pastor. Amen. I didn't say I operate as a good pastor, but I learned to be a good pastor. And so I draw on that, praise the Lord, that learning to help me when I'm maybe not being so good or whatever. So, my heart is to be a good pastor. And, you know, that's how the leading works. The leading of God is when you step out to do what you know. But see, if we get complacent in the things of God, here's another thing, another side of the knowledge of God. This really is going much different than I thought it was going to, but praise the Lord, it'll help us. If we get complacent, you know, like you may do the same thing all the time. Maybe you put envelopes in the chair. Maybe you clean the bathrooms. Maybe you play guitar. Maybe you play the drums or do the things back there that they do and make me louder or quieter and all that stuff. You know, whatever it is you do, it's easy to get complacent in those things. It's easy to be like, I've been doing this for so long. But see, doing what you know to do good. And we need to be thankful when we know to do good, because isn't there a lot of things we don't know what to do? Isn't there a lot of things, my God, the time, praise the Lord. Isn't there a lot of things that we just don't have any inkling on?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, it would seem. So let's move on, because I really do want to get somewhere today. 1 Corinthians 2. You know, a service like this, I honestly don't know, I don't know if I could ever repeat it. And what I mean by that is I don't know if I could, because it's just so, you know, there's... this is just it's an unction. It's just a different place. You know, that's part of being led too. Actually, as a pastor, you know, I try to follow the Spirit as I minister. And if that flow isn't there, then not much is going to be said. And so it's important to learn that, because How you may not minister like I do, but you will minister to somebody. There'll be times where you'll be talking to somebody and you'll want the right words. And it's all as simple as learning how to flow with the Spirit and follow the Spirit. Really, it's yielding to the Spirit. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 and 13. It says here, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may what? Know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words." When I see that we may know the things freely given to us by God, I instantly think of John 16, 14, and 15. Talking about the Holy Spirit, go ahead and go there. Talking about the Holy Spirit, John 14, or 16, 14, and 15. "He will glorify me, for he," this is the Holy Spirit, this is what the Holy Spirit will do. "He will take of mine and will disclose it to you." Amen. Verse 15. "All things the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you." In other words, we will know the things freely given to us by God. It's important to know some things. And this is another place where it's important to not have an opinion, to learn to suppress our own desires. It's easy to look at something and say, "I want that." We all do it. Amen? And it'll get us in trouble every single time. Why? Because when we just go by what we desire, what we want, when we look at those things, what we do is we get distracted with things that aren't God. Right. See, when God gives you something, the last three vehicles that I had personally, the last three vehicles, actually you could really say the last four vehicles, God specifically led me on. Each one, specifically. I wasn't seeking them. I wasn't looking to get one. I wasn't looking to get a new one. Actually, probably the last five, really, if I want to think about it. Specifically, I had no part, really, in the decision of which vehicle I got. No part. I didn't look at it and say, "Ooh, that's the one that I want. I wonder if God would let me have that." I didn't do that. In fact, I wasn't even looking for it. But you want to know something? Each one of those vehicles has been an absolute blessing to my life. What do I mean by that? I mean, as I get into them, there's no issues. As I drive them, they're paid for, they're taken care of, they go good, and they bless me when I'm in them. Not one of them did I see. Praise the Lord. Our house that we live in, we had to move. We knew we had to move to Mayville, but we had no idea that that was our house. Actually, we were going to go with another house, and then Chris Calhoun came in here, and she said, "Pastor," she has on the bus run, you know, and she said, "Pastor," she's like, "you got to go see this house. It just came on the market," or she knew it was. I don't even think there was a sign out there yet, was there? Do you remember? I don't think, what's that? That day there was. It was like the first day it was on the market. And I went up and drove by it, and I just thought, wow. But the minute my wife and I walked into it, we knew. We just knew. It wasn't something that we were trying to get into that house or that market. We were trying to get into a house. We were going to put an offer on another house that day, actually. Talk about being Spirit-led. See, you can have your ideas of how things should be. You can go looking and make things. You can go looking for what you want. Or you can let the Lord disclose to you what belongs to you, what things belong to you. I'm being Spirit-led, so I'm going to give examples just how I've been led. Now, of course, there's many examples in ministry. Every week that I preach, every message that I preach is being led. But also in natural life, and the reason I use natural life is because natural life does affect your spiritual life. Because if we were in a house that we didn't know how we were going to pay for, and we would have never bought the house we were in, We would have never thought we could have. But see, this is the blessing of God. We've never had a minute where it was an issue. We've had things go wrong, and they're taken care of. We've had things come up, it's taken care of. But we've never had an issue making our payment, not one time. And when we moved into our house, we were convinced that we would never eat out again. In fact, we started eating out more. Just to be honest with you, it's just, better stuff too. Is that what you said? We have a better kitchen, but we eat out more, yeah. Praise God, hallelujah. This last year, I started doing some projects. Every year in the springtime, I get spring fever. I want to get out. I want to do some projects on the house, and I started projects. And one of the projects that we were doing, we were able to get, we did some loan stuff, and it actually gave us a better interest rate and all the stuff, knocked gears off. All these things, and we got some money to do some projects with. And so we were able to do that without adding anything to us. Actually, over the course of the loan, we actually are doing all these projects for free. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. This is how good God is. Amen. And so, praise the Lord. So in this process, I was going to do something. I was going to do our bathroom in our master bathroom in our off our bedroom. And I got to that point, and I just had a, don't do it. And it's something my wife and I have truly, truly desired. We'll smell the people that lived there before, kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's just they're in it. You know what I mean? And it's just like, and I don't like that. And she doesn't like that. And so we and plus it's kind of ratty. And it's like, it's time that the master bathroom is nice. We've done everything, or a lot of other things, you know. And so I had a kind of a check about moving forward. So I mentioned it to my wife, and I love this is how we work, but I just said I have a check about it. And if I say I have a check, she's like, okay, so we won't do it right now. We're just going to wait. And we waited. And I'm just going to put it to you this way. Over the course of the last few months waiting on this, she could have been demanding that it gets done, you know, like a lot of wives, I want it done right now. Or I could have been antsy and thought, man, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. But see, in the process of getting it done, amen, yeah, or waiting on getting it done, I got the direction I needed that is completely changing what we were originally going to do. And it's going to work out for our lives, amen. But that was not something that I knew. Now, that doesn't mean, like, this is not the same as being lazy. It's not that I'm just like, well, I just don't want to do anything. I just want to enjoy the summer. But I'm, you know, because we have other projects that we certainly are working on. Just because I'm not working on that, we're working on other things. But the point that I'm trying to make is, you know, learning to follow the Spirit will, number one, it'll save you money. But it'll also put you in a place of peace. Because you're not always worked up about things, trying to, you know, what am I going to do and how am I going to make it? When something isn't working out simple, I step back. Every time. If there's friction, I step back. Or I try to every time. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but amen. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. It matters that we know the things that are freely given to us. It matters what we know, because those are the things that cause us to be in bondage. When Jesus said that you'll know the truth and the truth shall set you free, this is one of the areas he's talking about. We don't have to be in bondage like the rest of the world is in bondage. We don't have to be held back by our affections. We don't have to be controlled by our affections. In fact, there's lots of things I desire. There's other things in life I still desire. There's one thing in particular I desire that whenever I see the thing in the place where it would be, I think about it, amen? But I happily put it to the side. Because I know this, that when it comes, if that's what God has for me, when it comes, it'll be a complete blessing to me. But I can struggle with something that isn't a blessing to me, and it can just... There was an example. What was it recently? I think we were talking about it recently. There was an example of something that I thought was God, but it wasn't. And I got into it, and it just caused me a lot of... Do you remember what it was? I can't remember what it was. Praise the Lord. But we certainly have had examples of that in life. And I could give you, for that example, I could give you a million other examples. I could just give you example after example after example of our life and where we've learned to but the key to it is learning that you put down your desire, the things that you want. And what I mean by that, it really is not just to ever have a desire, but to be willing to put things down for whatever God wants, truly being willing to. That's not putting it down, because this is something else I've learned. When you first start doing this, God ain't gonna have it. Listen to what I'm saying. When you first start putting things down, God will prove you and he'll test you by not letting you have it. You won't just get it. You may lay something down and you may never pick up again. But that's part of the process of learning. But in doing so, God always increases you and blesses you bigger in other areas. Amen? In ways that would bless you more. We never give up something for God that we don't receive many times more in this life. Praise the Lord. And the next, the Bible tells us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we have a few minutes left. I want you to see something. I want to ask a few questions. What if your knowing is wrong? What if you don't? What if you know but don't? You know, a lot of people think that they know, but they don't. Or what if you refuse knowledge? You know, you can start seeing how if you're refusing the direction of God, if you're refusing knowledge, you can create for yourself quite a world that isn't God at all. And the bigger of a world you create without God, the more it's going to take to get that world transformed into something that is. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we want to know what God has for us. Now, and what I mean by this, again, I'm not just saying what he has for us in material things, but what he has for us to do. What is the purpose of my life? The more I purpose for my life, the less his purpose will be my life. Amen? The more I purpose for my life, the less his purpose will be my life. I want God's purpose. His purpose is highest and best. It's always higher than mine. It's always greater than mine. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I wish I could remember what that thing was. Maybe it'll come back to me and I'll let you all know next week or something. Praise God. Turn with me to Luke. This is the last scripture we're going to go to. Go to Luke 1. You know, there's going to be things you'll know that you just know that won't have any basis in anything other than the fact that you know them. You know what I mean? I don't have to be led on tying my shoes. I know to do it, and so I do it. I know it's simple, but that's all life really is. When we don't know, we submit it to God and say, Lord, I don't know. Show me. That's what the Holy Spirit, that's what he wants to do. He wants to show you what you don't know. Amen? God doesn't need to show you. If he has to deal with you on tying your shoes, you got a lot bigger problems than where you're going. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're looking at Luke 1 and verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 4, and I find this very interesting. It says here, much as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. Referring to is the other gospels, right? He's the other writings that have been written about Jesus, because that's what the book of Luke is. Now, this is what is so interesting, and I didn't come up with this teaching on my own. I remember my pastor teaching us about this many years ago, but it works in perfectly, I think. Luke wrote the book of Luke because it seemed fitting. He didn't have any major revelation. He didn't have an angel appear before him. The Holy Ghost didn't come upon him. He fell out on the floor in some kind of trance and then just woke up and the book of Luke existed. Praise the Lord. No, it seemed good to him. It seemed fitting. It seemed right. So that Theophilus, whoever that is, most excellent Theophilus, would know that the things were truth. Now, this you may not know, but Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And so we understand that about the book of Acts as well. The Acts are where we get a lot of the things that the Holy Spirit did in the early church. That's where we learn a lot about Paul and the things that he did, amen? Which was an important setup for the rest of the New Testament. So, but notice that this was all done just because it just seemed good to him. Amen. Praise the Lord. He wrote this beautiful book, and this is probably one of the most go-to gospels that we have in Christendom. And he wrote it just because it seemed good. See, the leading of God doesn't always have to be something that is super spectacular. Amen. It doesn't have to be something that where, you know, people almost act like that unless there is. No, I am not discounting. It is wonder. I've had prophecy. I've had a prophet prophesy over me at least twice this year. And both of those things were wonderful. I'm so glad that I got them. And they've been so helpful for my life and in ministry. And they've helped us and directed us. Praise the Lord. There's been so much in them that has been good from that. So I'm not discounting those things. It's awesome when the Holy Spirit wants to move. It's awesome when he wants to do things. But we have to also understand that God is going to do things through natural wisdom. He's going to do things through the things that we understand. If you're somebody who follows God, then there will be a lot of things that you will just know are good to do. It will just be right. And that is no less the leading of God than anything else is. Amen. Because that is truly, oh man, praise God, hallelujah. When we hear the word preached and we act upon it, we are acting on the leading of God because we heard the word he gave. The word he gave is his will. And as we hear that, that's why we're told to repeat the word. That's why we're told to preach the word in season and out of season to continue preaching the word and preaching the word. Why? Because if you will act on the word, you are acting on the leading of God. And as you act on that leading, the other leading will become, because you will, you know, there's a certain flow. You kind of, I told y'all, I just was with some friends down in Tennessee. And every house is built different, isn't it? You go into some people's houses and they don't want shoes on. And you go into other people's houses and they're like, oh, just leave your shoes on. It doesn't matter. You go into some people's house and they don't want you, they don't want you using this bathroom. But they'll let you use this bathroom. I mean, a whole kinds of different. We have that in our house. We have a public bathroom and then we have our bathroom. Nobody touches our bathroom. Praise the Lord, they get in trouble. Even the kids don't touch our bathroom. Amen? It's sacred space. Except for Ezra. Once in a while, she kind of sneaks in there. But praise the Lord. But she does it quietly. She does it quick and quietly. Amen. But the point I'm trying, I was in a, you know, I had to adjust. I had to learn the flow of that household. Because it would have been wrong for me to go in there and start saying, well, this isn't the way I live, so I'm going to do it differently. Yeah, right. Amen. And so I went there and I submitted to that will. Well, the same thing is with God. As you come and you listen to the word and you submit to that direction, not necessarily what I'm telling you to do, but what the word is telling you to do, when you submit to that and you start that flow, you start knowing the flow pretty quickly. And then when the Spirit of God wants to lead you, it's easy for him because you already know. Amen. See, a lot of people are trying to go into church. They're trying to hear what they want to hear because the way they come to church is they're like, I'm going to go to the church that appeases my flesh. I'm going to listen. I'm going to go to the church where I like the music, where I like the preacher, where I like the people, where I like how the location I want it to be in. This is how a lot of people pick church. And so when they go into church and they hear something they don't like and they hear it a few times, even if it's truth, they don't even question whether or not it's truth. They just sit there and say, I like it or I don't like it. And so they move on. See, they've never submitted themselves. And there's people like this. There's people that are professional, they're professional church hoppers. It's what they do. That's what their business is. They go from church to church to church, and it's always different. And they're wondering why their life is always like that. And then they have this leading and that leading. I've known, actually, the people that talk about being led the most often are people that are church hopping the most. And they're often the people also who are being released. Not by God, anyways. They're being led, but it isn't by God. And it's because they never learned to submit themselves to the truth. If you don't submit yourself to knowledge, knowledge being the word, if you don't submit yourself to truth, truth being the word, glory to God, how are you going to submit to His Spirit? Because His Spirit only leads in line with the Word. Amen?
Yes.
Luke was somebody who had learned to submit to the Spirit. And so he had submitted to the truth. He had submitted to these things. So he made an account of them. So Theophilus could do the same thing. That was the desire of his heart, that he would also be able to do the same thing. Paul said this. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. What did he mean by that? Christ was already gone. Do you know that Paul did not walk with Jesus? He did not see Jesus while he was here, right? He said, follow me as I follow Christ. What did he have? Well, he had the truth of the word. He had the revelation of God, and he followed that. He said, follow me as I follow that. Yep. And so that's the key for us. We have to understand, if we come in to anything with our preconceived ideas and our notions of how things ought to be or should, whatever, you know, and that's the other thing. Like, you may have been somewhere else and you're like, this is how we did it there.
Sure.
That may have worked there in that town with that people at that time. But, you know, it might not work the same now. If we try to go back 200 years ago and try to build a church the way they did, I mean, building it on the word is one thing, but if we're like, well, we're only, you know, we saw a place that was just wooden pews. Well, just because a church had wooden pews 200 years ago, that doesn't make it like that's the standard we have to have. Praise the Lord. There is things to learn. And what my wife talked about when we saw that spoke to us. You know, that we do make things too much about fluff. Amen? But that doesn't mean that when God blesses us or increases us that that's wrong either. And so the focus should never be that stuff, but it's not wrong if you walk in it. And it's the same thing in your life. You know, you don't have to apologize if you've been blessed in life. Glory to God. You know what I mean? Just keep walking it out. There's nothing wrong with it, and we should all do that. Seemed fitting means seemed good. It's the same thing. And so Luke wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts because it seemed good. It seemed fitting to do so. And we're blessed by it. Folks, being led is not a hard thing. It's not a difficult thing, but we have to start at the beginning. Where a lot of us are trying to jump in is too far down the line. We're trying to wait for some great, those things can happen, they might happen, but that's not what we're waiting for. Being led is simple, and it starts in the place of knowledge, it starts in the place of wisdom, which is, of course, the word, and then branches out from there. Amen?